Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
And welcome to Friday afternoon here in the Allstate Showcase Studio along Michigan Avenue. Coming up a little bit later in the program, Tom Gimbel will be here talking about mentoring men, mentoring women on this International Women's Week. Andrea Haynes is in the studio, and she's got news of an exploding robot, maybe. I don't know if that's quite the right way to put it. And then we'll go to Ravinia a little bit later in the program. Front Row Phyllis will be here as well. That's all what's coming up in the next 60 minutes, brought to you in part by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. All right, directly to our flippy desk, Andrea Haynes is here, the editor of Blue Sky Innovation in the Chicago Tribune. Andrea, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be here.
So Flippy, and we were talking a little bit about this earlier this week, is a robot-ish at a few restaurants in California, and it flips hamburgers, right? And the idea is that it's reliable, doesn't get sick, doesn't burn its fingers, and it's probably the wave of the future.
Yeah, so Flippy is totally better than a human, except there is breaking Flippy news.
What?
Which is Flippy needed to take a few mental health days after kind of being overworked this week.
Well, wait a minute. I think the whole thing about Flippy was he was reliable, right?
He's not That didn't work out. Flippy had a little stress breakdown this week. Seriously, Flippy was inundated because when news of Flippy got out, something like 2,000 people showed up to get a Flippy-made burger.
And this is at the Cali Burger.
Exactly.
In California.
Exactly.
So people went there to get a flippy flipped burger.
And they wore Flippy out.
And so Flippy broke down?
Yeah.
Well, we all break down from time to time.
Everybody does. But, I mean, that's, you know, it all the more helps us see them as human.
Well, but it is a little interesting then, isn't it? Because the beauty of these robots is that they don't break down and that they are reliable.
You know, there are some kind of cool things about what it can do. Like it can rotate spatulas and clean off the grill and things that are kind of cool. It does still need a human to put the patties on the grill, and it still needs some human support.
And the idea, though, is if you have technology doing this, and obviously we're worried a little bit about it and looking forward to it, there's one study that said technology could soak up as much as 40% of the workforce by the 2030s. But if you have that, then you don't have to worry about people calling in sick or things like that.
Yeah, it definitely smooths things out there. And it's also, I thought an interesting stat in this story was that the sort of fast food industry spends $3.4 billion a year on recruiting and training.
Right.
They're high turnover jobs. There's a lot of training. That's a lot. So.
And so they wouldn't have to do that if they're hiring robots.
Less of it. But now they maybe have to train the people to deal with their robots.
What struck me in the story is also they said roughly 1 in 8 workers in 2015 reported being assaulted at their fast food jobs.
Yeah, that seems to require its own story, right? That's pretty disturbing.
It does require its own story. And then the third thing is that sometimes the advice for people who are injured at the workplace aren't good. Like, actually, come on, you finish the story.
Well, yeah, there was, you know, fast food workers being told to treat burns with condiments.
So
is ketchup going? I'm not sure.
No, I think
about
it's
that.
The relish. You put the relish on a burn and it soaks the burn right out.
Pretty strange.
Okay, so there's that. So if Flippy's off for a few days to recoup, are we worried about Flippy coming to Chicago anytime soon?
I think, you know, I don't think we know that yet, but I think Flippy will get a tune-up and Flippy will probably still be coming out. Flippy costs $60,000 right now, and that's expected to go up as he, I don't know why I'm calling him he, but he looked like a he to me. He, as Flippy improves.
Well, he's a villain.
I don't know if Flippy
the villain or men.
Gender, but
What would you call
it's
them?
Another confusing question.
Flippy and, well, we'll see. We'll just have to wait for that. But how many restaurants is Flippy working in now?
Flippy's, I think, primarily in this one. I think there's a few of them out there, but it's not like widespread at this point.
Will Flippy work with chicken burgers?
Yeah. I would imagine.
Okay, we'll have to wait to see. Yeah. RX Burger is a great RX Bar is a great local story. We've talked about it here a lot. They were taken over by Kellogg's recently, and so now they're expanding, but they say Kellogg's is sort of staying off their back too.
Yeah, so Greg Trotter talked to them. You know, just curious to know what happens when your little startup is acquired by Kellogg for $600 million, which happened last November. And this was sort of a Chicago success story that took people by storm a little bit. You know, they had been a little bit under the radar. I mean, they weren't under the radar in terms of their product, but they weren't super noisy as founders.
Right. Sounds like the founders, he describes himself kind of as an introvert.
He does. He says he's an introvert. And now he's got quite a project on his hands. They did say, as you mentioned, that Kellogg wasn't meddling too much yet. Their next plan for RX Bar is to launch a nut butter that will be like individual serving sizes. And, you know, Kellogg seems to be looking to them sort of for these snack, healthy, portable snack ideas.
So did Kellogg go after them because of their product or, well, I'm going to say because of their product? I mean, not so much. They like more the way they sell what they sell, right, than what they make.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, it's a bar, right? But they have a great sort of marketing message. It's sort of this clean, very few ingredients, very clear packaging, and it was just meeting the right audience.
And so RX Bar is, and they're moving too, right?
They are. They're moving into a new headquarters. So they've got a lot going on. They'll still be, you know, they'll be in downtown Chicago. So they'll be around with us and they'll be expanding. They have some, I think, 240 employees they're planning to have by the end of the year.
I like, too, that they're talking about, well, you know, we might just make everyone switch desks every couple of months to keep things
fresh.
Yeah,
so now they're worried about exactly that, right? So once you get the big money and you get the big owner, like, how do you keep your edge?
Hey, real quick, what's happening in Bloomington with State Farm? Looks like they're cutting a lot of jobs there or moving jobs.
So, yeah, State Farm is moving around some jobs. They're going to wind up kind of almost netting out somewhat even, it sounds like, on job totals in Bloomington, Illinois. But they're cutting 890 information technology positions from their headquarters.
And they're moving, but they're moving them elsewhere.
Some of the jobs are moving.
But creating more. It sounds like they're just kind of, well, they're switching offices.
They are. The story says Atlanta, Dallas, and Phoenix will add about 380 positions. So there's still a net loss, and there's overall a reduction of 500 jobs nationwide.
So if I'm working in Bloomington, the home of Beer Nuts and McLean Stevenson, and I have a chance to go work in Phoenix, do I take that trade?
You know, that's what a lot of people are going to be thinking about.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
New jobs report out today, and Wall Street seems to like it. The Dow is up 380 points so far on the trading day, or maybe they just like the fact that Tom Gimbel, the CEO of LaSalle Network, is here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. That's what I like.
Always good to be with you.
Welcome back, friend.
I take full credit and responsibility for the Dow going
up. Not anyone can. All right, so International Women's Day was yesterday, and so we talked we're talking about it quite a bit this week. But you want to talk about, and I want this to be a bi-gender approach conversation.
Totally.
Is that the, I don't know if that's the correct
term.
Yeah,
no, it's, you know, it's funny. We were doing, some of our folks were doing posts, and over 60% of our population at LaSalle Network's female. Over 60% of my management team, female. Mm-hmm. Over 60% of my executive team, female. So I can look at it because we don't have a problem at my shop. And I can say that when we hire people, we employ people. We don't employ men and women. We employ people because it's not an issue. And you don't want to make it a situation where a man feels that he's at a disadvantage joining a company because only women can get promoted.
Right.
And so it's.
But how do you do that? Because, so, I mean, I was having conversations off the air with people this week, and I said, you know, I made a comment about the different women's group growing women and encouraging women and things, and someone said, well, it's because you run the world as a white guy. I'm like, I don't feel like I run the world.
Right. You get thrown into a thing. If you're a middle-aged white man, then all of a sudden you're the same as Donald Trump and the guys in D.C. and all
right.
And that's just not the case, right? I mean, that's that.
So how do we make this an event that is for men as well as women? Or how do you make an office that it's not, you know what I mean? How do you integrate it?
Well, the problem is, and when you're not, it's easy for everyone to say, well, I don't discriminate, right? But for those that don't discriminate, then you feel wronged because it's like, I didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
And I mean, you're really going back to affirmative action issues.
But it's also true that most people who discriminate don't think they do.
Oh, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Good. I'm glad to hear that.
I think that there is unintentional discrimination.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
I mean, I do believe that. You think that, well, men seem to deal better in this sales environment than women do. And that may be factual, but it also may be discriminatory.
Sure.
But it may be factual.
But you're saying most of the discrimination that we see is intentional.
Well, I think when you see something where, you know, in big companies, where there does tend to have been an old boys network for years, and when there were men's clubs and those types of things, I do get that.
That's past tense.
Or is it? I think for the most part it is. I don't think there's really any purely, there's some golf clubs and things like that, right? But I think for the most part that it's by gender, if that's the right word, encompassing. But, you know, on the flip side, there's a lot of women's clubs that are wine clubs and things that men aren't invited to. There's, I don't know if you can say the B word on the radio, but there used to be one of
Baltimore.
Of Stitch in Baltimore.
Oh yeah.
Right. And right. Where they would get together and knit and drink wine, and there weren't any men invited. And so you can play that game all day long. The key is do you look for a company that hires women? I think that equal, you know, hires men and women.
Right.
And is there a track of management promotions of things happening those ways? And that's all you can ask.
We talk about the fact that women need more mentors to follow, more leaders to follow.
Women
and the implication is that they need that there should be women that they're following.
I disagree with that. I like to believe I'm a good example that I'm a small business owner, relatively speaking. We have 250 employees, and you look at something, and I can mentor women all day long. And I have kids. I'm not married anymore, but I have my kids have a mom, and and what it's like to be a mom and manage and take care of families and do those things. It's called empathy. And empathy isn't gender-based. And so the fact of being able to understand that there's biological differences is called being observant. And then how you allocate things. And I do think you need, can a woman be a better mentor? Yes, to women. But can a bad woman
be a
better mentor than a good man?
Right.
No.
I mean, I do, and I'm reluctant to say some of this stuff out loud, but I do worry sometimes that some of the promotional events end up further dividing the situation than they do fixing it.
Yeah, but you know what? You and I get your hesitancy to say it, and I'm the same way, but we say that being in a situation where it's men dominated.
Right.
Yeah. And so you have those issues that exist, but you look at the political figures, and you know, where are the women that Sheryl Sandberg and Hillary Clinton have helped elevate? I don't see them being thanked by these other women on the platform, right? And so I think that you need to see more of that on a very big stage, but I think on a local stage, there's a lot of, I mean, a good friend of mine, I don't know if you ever had Jay Schwan from Solstice Mobile as a guest.
Yet, no.
Great company. He went to their parent company. They sold to London, and a woman got promoted to be CEO of the organization. They're a huge tech firm in Chicago. No one talks about that because it's not a big deal because they employ lots of women and they treat people well and they're a great company.
So it doesn't stand out. It's expected.
I think so.
Tom Gimbel, the CEO of LaSalle Network. Thanks for coming by.
Always good to talk to you.
Follow him at LaSalleNetwork.com.
And at Tom Gimbel on Twitter for my Cubs updates. A few more weeks.
Well, we're White Sox, buddy. We're all about the White Sox now.
For crying out.
I'll get you a jersey.
Ugh.
Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
It's 12:37 here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Checking in on Wall Street, the Dow is up 371 points as we move toward the Friday close. In the studio right now is Jonah Meadows. He's the North Shore editor for thepatch.com, and he's come with charts and a pointer, and he's going to need it all to explain the story.
Hi, Steve.
Jonah, welcome. Thanks for coming in. I am a big fan of the Ravinia Festival. I live, you know, as I was just telling you, in Deerfield. I love it. I love the little village of Ravinia. I used to go to Ravinia Barbecue. Mm-hmm. I did not know until you wrote your stories that it was closed. And so here comes this brew pub or this brewery, and all of a sudden the giant Ravinia Festival is involved in sort of a fight with this, with it sounds like, with the Ravinia community a little bit.
Yeah, this brewery has been around in the community doing sort of food truck events, limited release of brews, these partnership craft limited release things around the Chicago area for a couple years, but starting last year they plan to open a physical location on Roger Williams, right in the Ravinia district.
And so for people who don't know, there's Ravinia used to be a town well mm-hmm. over 100 years ago. It was incorporated by Highland Park, but you still drive through near the Ravinia Festival, this area called Ravinia. Roger Williams, where the Ravinia Barbecue was and where this brew pub then was going to open.
Right. And a lot of the businesses there have this name, Ravinia Laundry, Ravinia Coffee.
Isn't there Ravinia Plumbing?
Ravinia Plumbing is one, yeah. And Ravinia Barbecue was in this spot. But the festival has a trademark on the name Ravinia. Not just Ravinia Festival, they have a trademark on the name Ravinia, and not just for music, but for restaurants and catering and food services. And so they say that the opening of this microbrewery physical location is a violation of that trademark.
But it started, they were working together before they weren't?
Well, this is where it's a little bit, it's a little bit depends on who you talk to about it. But there were partnership sponsorship discussions that happened last year. They were discussing a special release of a beer for the upcoming announcement of the schedule.
I mean,
next
what
week.
A great marriage, right? You'd sell Ravinia beer at Ravinia.
Mm-hmm. And the brewery says the festival wanted to reach out to a younger audience, and the festival says the brewery wants to reach a much larger audience. And so, yeah, it seemed like a good deal. There were discussions of sponsorship numbers, but at some point it broke down and they stopped talking to each other, and both sides said that they were, you know, being unreasonable.
And then the festival sort of sent a sort of cease and desist letter.
Yeah, well, traditionally you would send a cease and desist if you thought somebody was violating your trademark, but these days it's a little bit dangerous if you're a popular brand to do that, because then who you send it to can post it on Facebook and say, look at this big brand coming after me. So it's become less common to send these cease and desists, or when you do it, sometimes you'll see sort of cutesy, friendly ones. So instead, what they sent was a licensing agreement. And if the brewery had signed it, the festival says it was just a first draft, opening of negotiations. But if they'd signed it, it would have meant the brewery would have paid per unit, per beer,
to the Ravinia Festival.
To the festival. And the festival would potentially own the brand out from underneath them.
Now, the Ravinia Festival has the copyright. I mean, they have the trademark, right? They do have a trademark on that.
On the word Ravinia, just with no...
When it comes to food and beverage. Mm-hmm. They have a concern that the Ravinia Brewery, that their logo resembles the Ravinia Festival,
right.
Which, frankly, I think it does.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a pretty legitimate concern. Mm-hmm. So I think there are arguments here on both sides, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then so later, Ravinia said in your story today, said that they're going to back off this licensing agreement.
Yeah, they say the royalty request was really just sort of an opening offer. They weren't super serious about it, and they are totally open to coming to an amicable
right.
agreement. Then they have, you know, they don't want this to be a big controversy.
So the Jonah Meadows is here, and his story is at patch.com. Jonah, when I read your stories, what I think I hear really is not just a disagreement between a business in the Ravinia District and the Ravinia Festival, but the Ravinia sort of local merchants organization. I mean, it seems to me like they're the ones going after Ravinia Festival here.
Right, right. I mean, the festival says it's been a negative PR campaign that's been launched against them, but that wasn't really done by the brewers. Like, I didn't hear about it from the brewers. I heard about it from this Ravinia Neighbors Association, a local business community, a civic group, and they felt that the festival was extracting royalties from local business, making it
harder
for local businesses.
So is this sort of a typical thing where you move near something attractive, you benefit from something attractive, and then you sort of bite the hand that feeds it in a way? I mean, are people getting tired of the Ravinia Festival there, the crowd? I know it's very crowded. It gets very inconvenient there.
Well, they have it's a complicated relationship that they have with the town, because they bring in a lot of revenue, and they're everybody loves going there that I've talked to in town, but at the same time they are immune from paying property taxes, and some people say that they keep trying to expand beyond the terms of their original deal with the city,
right.
So they expand into a larger area and expand and build it up more. And so there have been some concerns over the last several years over possible, you know, how the relationship between the festival and the nonprofit that operates it and the Highland Park community has been developing.
Shoot, I should. What's the name of the pizza joint right there?
The former pizza joint.
Yeah, is it moved? It moved around the corner. I got to think of it. A friend of mine owns it. I can't remember now.
Oh, right.
All right. So look in your crystal ball. Here we are on March 9th. What's going to happen, say, 6 weeks, 6 months from now? Where are we going to be?
Well, face-to-face discussions between the brewery and the festival could begin as early as this weekend. They both seem open to getting back to the bargaining table. I can imagine. I mean, what the brewery wants is a little bit of a stretch here. They want something in writing that says they're not going to be sued if they open. And that...
It's a lot to ask from any
intellectual property attorney. But they say if they get something in writing that they're not going to be sued, that they would be ready to open. The festival says they just want to make sure their brand isn't damaged. And so I don't know if they're going to change the logo, if they're going to come to some partnership agreement, or if it could wind up in court for years.
So you think it might be something you'll be writing about again?
It's hard to tell.
I would imagine you will. Jonah Meadows. Read more at patch.com. Hey, great to meet you. I hope to come back soon.
You too. Thanks, Steve.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Got a minute? Good, because I've got the Wintrust Minute, sharing the news and asking questions for small business owners. Facility management companies, come on down. Conference season in Chicago is gearing up, and the 2018 Facility Fusion Conference and Expo is on March 20th, but registration closes next Friday. Some people may say, oh, I just collect trinkets and swag from these things. But if you go into events with a goal in mind of meeting a certain number of people or connections, they might be a little bit more beneficial. What else that has been beneficial to Chicago has been M-Hub, and they've been here for 1 year. To celebrate their anniversary, M-Hub is hosting discussions and panels all day today to look back at what they've done for manufacturing across the country. And with all of their partners, the one that sees the most potential was when GE jumped on board and called M-Hub the future of these kind of spaces. A year later, I'd say that checks out. Tune in tomorrow for all of your up-to-date business news on WGN Radio.
Thank you very much, Orion Samuelson. You might think this week's number of the week would be 313,000, right? As in 313,000 new jobs last month? No, not this week. The number of the week is 3, as in the number of emergency calls made from the new Apple headquarters in Cupertino, California. That new building they have, they just opened. It's sleek, so sleek that people inside can't tell what's a door and what's a pane of glass. So they keep walking into the glass. We know that because the San Francisco Chronicle has been going through the 911 numbers.
Back to Steve Bertrand and the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
It is 12:52 here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Oh, look who's on the phone. Front row Phyllis joins us on this Friday. Phyllis, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Good. You know, we were talking earlier about the Ravinia Festival, and I know we're still a couple of months away from that. But I was talking about a pizza joint in the little village of Ravinia. It was Piero's. I couldn't find the name of it, so I had to look it up. Have you ever had Piero's pizza?
Yeah. Oh, I love Piero's pizza. They do a great, and their pasta, it's phenomenal. I'm not doing an infomercial for them or anything, but it's really good.
I've never had their pasta, so I'll have to branch out a little bit. Hey,
exactly.
So Pink, I know, is known for her acrobatics, and sometimes she has others on the trapeze with her. Are you performing with Pink this weekend?
You know what? She said that she's got another opener. I was kind of bummed, but maybe next tour.
Right.
That's what we're hoping for.
I can totally see that.
Look outside. Right?
Yeah.
If you look outside your window, I'm wondering if she's actually going to be scaling the United Center tonight. I don't know.
Does she do that?
She did that. It wasn't the Grammys. It was one of the other awards that she was actually on the outside of the building and performing. She's pretty amazing.
I do remember that.
She is pretty amazing.
The shows are at the United Center, right?
They are. It's tonight and tomorrow evening. This is, of course, her Beautiful Trauma Tour, which is hence the name of her 7th studio album that was released last year. And, she has sold over 42 million albums and 75 million singles.
Wow.
So I think she's doing something right.
You know, it's kind of funny because I think I'm in tune to the things I'm in tune to, and then the ones I'm not, I'm just completely ignorant of. And so is Pink... is she still, churning out the hits? I mean, or is she kind of touring on what she's done before? She still has success?
No, she definitely has success. Oh, yeah. This Beautiful Trauma Tour took off and, hit the charts and landed on number one for many, many weeks.
Oh, good.
So, yeah.
I like her.
Right.
Yeah, she was the one, she just sang the national anthem, at the Super Bowl and spit her gum out right before her mint. It was kind of cute.
Was that Pink?
It was very endearing. I think it was Pink.
Yeah.
So that's this weekend. Are those tickets sold out?
No, there are tickets still available. So for tonight and tomorrow. So
All right. And Sebastian Maniscalco at the Rosemont Theater. I don't know that.
Okay. So if you've ever seen, if you want something so incredible when it comes to comedy, he's the guy. He is one of the funniest comedians. It's tonight and tomorrow night over at Rosemont. And he's originally from Chicago, living in L.A. now. And he talks about his Italian-raised, family and how he was, brought up. And I have to tell you, if there's somebody that, how you're always thinking about something that you want to say, but you really can't say it because it's not politically correct?
Right.
Well, he actually does do that. And that's his specialty. But he does it in such a funny way that you're like, wow, he's so funny.
All right, that's
so, yeah, you definitely want to check him out.
Tonight and tomorrow again at the Rosemont Theater out in Rosemont. Wait a minute. The Eagles are touring?
The Eagles are touring. They are.
But
and
we know that they're,
team.
I mean, what which of the Eagles are touring? Do you know?
Yes. So here in Chicago on March 14th over at the United Center, it's going to be Don Henley, Joe Walsh, Timothy Schmidt, along with Vince Gill is going to be with them.
Oh.
And then Glenn Frey's son, Deacon Frey, who plays guitar. And he's really, really talented.
So Vince Gill would do the Glenn Frey vocals.
I think so. Ah. I think that's how it's going to be set up. Yeah, it's going to be really great.
Okay, I was going to rip that idea, but that sounds pretty good, actually. I could see that.
Oh, yeah. And if you don't catch it on March 14th next week, they're going to actually be back at the UC on October 15th. So they're making a couple stops here in Chicago.
Right, where do people find out more information, Phyllis, about what's going on?
Just go to frontrowphyllis.com.
All right. And so we will not see you on the trapeze this time with Pink, but maybe next time?
Maybe next time. Maybe next weekend. I don't know.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch. We'll talk again soon.